gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is. It's an extravaganza today. It's not a show. 6 minutes after that. First of all, I had to go feel Jim's forehead because he was here early.
Yeah, 5 minutes
are you,
early.
Are you okay, Jim? Jim, are you right? Is everything okay?
Just the usual.
Yeah.
You know, I had to pick the cat up off my jacket so I could...
Right.
So
I do that every morning. That's not unusual for me.
I understand. All right, I'm wearing a little wrap because I'm a little chilly, and then, as you know, in here by hour three, it's 174 degrees in the studio because we have TV lights now, and we have dogs drooling and panting on us. All right, but today's big show, very, very exciting. Sexy liberal John Fugel saying at the bottom of this hour, because we're all traveling to Phoenix for a sexy liberal on Saturday, healthcare expert Jackie Schechner live in studio right there.
What?
Starting next hour for an hour and a half live in studio. Yay!
Right there. She's going to be right there.
Jim does to Jackie what Fred does to Jim all morning. Jim, just
boom.
Keep pawing her. All right. So it's a big, big show. Also, Antoinette Toff, who I've been trying to get on forever, who I love today. She is the bookkeeper who talked to that kid out of a school shooting with just pure love and empathy and courage. And I love you so much. Can we find that 911 tape again? So we can, everybody can remember. She just, that's how you don't need another good guy with a gun. You need empathy and heart, and she did it anyway. So exciting. She's going to be on the big show. When is she coming on? When is that happening?
8 o'clock Pacific.
Pacific time, hour number three. All right. And Macaroni made a new sexy liberal rap. What? Oh, my God. The official rapper of the Stephanie Miller Show, Macaroni. Yeah.
She's a nice girl. She do some nice things, like occasionally pissing off the right wing.
Yeah.
Every morning I wake up and do the right thing. Step in the mooks help start my day off nicely. I'm invested. I'm well rested. Off the sexy liberal, the gathering of Steph heads. She in your town only one night. She brought Jim, Chris, even Rocky Mountain Mike. I'm about to turn up the night like I'm Kenny Pick. I'm about to burn up the mic, man. I'm really sick. I'm addicted like a meth head. Hello, my name is Macaroni. I'm a Steph head. Progressive, minded on the issues. Will somebody give Boehner a tissue? We don't play the politics of skin tone. That's Obama derangement syndrome.
Are you ready
for the show? Sexy liberal.
Yeah.
Sexy liberal.
Yeah.
Sexy liberal.
I'm
sitting in the front row. Sexy liberal. Sexy liberal. Sexy liberal. GOP heads explode. Sexy liberal. Sexy liberal. Sexy liberal. Hey, mama is a bomb and she got it going on. It's the sexy liberal with Steph, Carlos, and John.
All right. Oh, wait, I just have to make... You know what? We always used to do surprise celebrity guests on panel.
Yeah.
I just decided I first of all, I'm horrible at keeping secrets, as you know.
Yes.
And so I've just decided I'm going to say so for Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, yeah.
In 2 weeks, March 1st, Judy Tenuta. Just agreed to be our celebrity
panelist. Nice. Could happen.
Woot! She'll be there for Pride Weekend.
That's right.
At the Parker Playhouse with us. So very, very exciting. All right. Speaking of exciting, exciting and new.
That's the Love Boat theme.
Carl.
Carl. And Chris. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com.
So inviting to me.
Good morning, Carl Frisch.
I'm glad that sentence didn't end with, come aboard, he's expecting you.
Are you surviving the Snowmageddon?
Yeah, this is Dexter's favorite time of the year. So I got up super early so that I could let him off leash in the street because we have like 8 inches of snow out there.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
be careful.
It's awful.
Be careful.
People can see video of him running around like a rabbit on my Facebook and Twitter
right.
and everything.
You stepped on me. I was going to make a Love Boat semen joke, and now it's too late.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, well, I got it in anyway. Carl Frisch. Very, very exciting. We had Chris Cluey on yesterday, and I don't know if you've heard this Dallas sportscaster. It's all over the interwebs. We'll play some audio. But, another straight sports anchor that just gave this really compelling speech about Michael Sam. Did you hear about it?
I did, and it's been all over my Facebook feed too.
Yep.
And I'm so excited that there's going to be somebody in the football that's gay.
Right.
with the touchdown. No, I think it's fantastic news. And whatever team ends up drafting him, and I do think he'll be drafted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have been comparing this to Jason Collins. It's a little bit different. I mean, Jason Collins, if you talk to most people that follow the sports, they'll tell you
the
that Jason
sports.
Collins wasn't the best player in the world.
Right.
But this kid is one of the best at what he does. So.
Well, and that's why I think you're right. It's a great test case because I've said that too, that some people are like, oh, well, he's a little small. It's like he was the defensive player of the year. Right?
Yeah.
There's no
right.
way you can go,
well, I mean,
you know.
Ask yourself this question. Would a team rather get a win or be freaked out by the cooties from a gay player?
Exactly.
I mean, they're going to want to win.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, and listen, in other political news, Kentucky ban on gay marriage from other states struck down by a federal judge. This is like a
right.
bunch of big gay dominoes. After
well,
what was it, Nevada,
you know, one
yesterday.
By one, people wanted to know what yeah. our agenda was. It only had 50 spots on it.
Yeah.
There you go. In a ruling that could open the door to gay marriage in Kentucky, for heaven's sakes. A federal
right.
judge on Wednesday struck down Kentucky's ban on recognizing valid same-sex marriages performed in other states, saying it violates the U.S. Constitution's guarantee of equal protection of the law. So they joined 9 other federal and state courts in invalidating such bans. That is big news, right?
Right, and it's also an interesting middle ground that they kind of struck where they're saying it's unconstitutional not to recognize out-of-state marriages. So I guess they'll have to decide the question of whether or not it's constitutional to grant or not grant.
Yeah,
right.
Same-sex marriages there. But, you know, there's also a competitive campaign cycle going on right now with Mitch McConnell facing the campaign of his life in his primary against the Tea Party guy.
I see you tweeted he trails Grimes by 4 points. Oh, dear.
Aww.
Turtle
fantastic
trouble.
News.
There's turtle trouble.
Well,
turtle
you know,
trouble.
Most senators can make up 4 points pretty easily, but since he's a turtle, it takes him a lot longer to get there.
Slow and steady.
Slow and steady wins the race.
And he'll be there by December, I promise.
Right.
That's right.
But now Ted Cruz has douched out again and decided to, so he's going to filibuster right on the debt ceiling?
No, it did, well, he tried to last night, but he was overruled.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, but I mean, he was trying to make all Republicans like McConnell go on record,
right,
as
exactly.
voting for a clean whatever. He's just being unhelpful.
And
well,
then he forced fed him green eggs and ham.
Republicans just need to drop all this garbage, and it shows you how much they knew it was politics all along,
yeah.
that they're willing to just stop it without saying anything about it.
Yeah.
You know, that they're willing to do all these things that they said were, you know, this is not politics, we're doing this because of the economy and because we want more jobs. Well, if you do believe that,
yeah.
where are the press conferences?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I love these arguments always, they start to sound so ridiculous. You know, I was saying to Chris Kluwe yesterday, whether it's these moldy locker room shower arguments for football, but this one in Kentucky, Martin Cochran, analyst for the Family Foundation of Kentucky.
Oh.
You know, when family is in the title, it just means straight people. That's
well,
I mean.
Whenever I hear Family Foundation of Kentucky, I hear bear near near near
near near near. Exactly. Okay, he said in a news release, it nullifies the right of Kentucky to determine policies regarding marriage, and the Kentucky marriage policy will now be dictated from places like Boston and San Francisco.
Yes, that's true, and I have no problem with that. Because if you've ever looked at the divorce rate in Kentucky, it's far higher than it is in Boston.
Yes. Oh, and then he also said if a state like Utah were ever to legalize polygamy, Kentucky would be forced to recognize it under the decision. What now?
What?
Yeah, they always jump. I mean, I guess I should be... It should be considered a compliment that now they just jumped to polygamy instead of bestiality and everything
right.
else they used to accuse gay people of.
Right.
But you know, we're gonna see. This is like the last gripes of some seriously angry and deranged people.
Yeah.
And they're not gonna go out without a fight. They're gonna say nasty things to us and about us. But that's not gonna slow down progress.
Yep, yep. By the way, I loved your tweet. We all laughed at Sarah Palin, see Russia from my house gaffe. Now she's watching Sochi Olympics from her porch. Who's laughing now?
Oh, Todd, they're doing the luge. Come look at the luge.
Oh, look, yeah. They're doing curling.
Get off the snowmobile. You're going to miss the skeleton.
Snow machine.
Snow machine.
Yes.
Snow machine.
Todd sells snow machines.
I can see the snow machine from my house.
Yeah, she's, you know, for people that don't remember, she's absolutely evil, but,
yep.
to review.
For people that haven't been following, she's still evil.
By the way,
she shot me, Yogi.
Speaking of Republican chicks, you say, well, this wasn't in her State of the Union response. McMorris Rogers faces possible ethics inquiry. What now?
Yeah, I don't think that they probably didn't check that on her resume before saying, okay, Congresswoman, you're going to give the big speech.
Right.
Make sure you tell them about how the State of the Union is in their heart. we're not going to check your ethics background. We're sure you're fine.
The real State of the Union is in your heart.
I don't have an ethnics background. I'm white.
All right. Oh, also, did Governor Scott Walker commit voter fraud? If he's telling the truth, he did. That was
That's interesting.
Yeah.
This is how far Reagan worship goes, and this is why I liked The Onion this week coming out with one of their videos of zombie Reagan coming back to run the Republican Party.
Yes.
Because Scott Walker took it just a step further than anybody would have imagined when he told an audience that, you know, it was one of his proudest moments was voting for Ronald Reagan, except that he wasn't even a teenager when Ronald Reagan first or ran for president or ran for re-election. He was still in grade school.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, that's...
So if he's telling the truth,
right,
then he committed voter fraud, and Republicans should probably have some kind of strict laws for Republican elected officials.
Or he's just a garden variety Republican liar.
Right.
Right.
And if he didn't do it, then he's just a pathetic excuse for a human being.
I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with number three. All right. Carl Frisch, you are delightful. Be careful with Dexter Von Frisch in the street.
I will. I will.
All right. Love you.
Have a good one.
All right. In a big gay way. 18 minutes after the hour, we roll along. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang coming up at the bottom of the hour on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. David did. With a little love letter, I'm grateful you're on ProgressiveRadio.com. I live in South Florida and listen every morning. Thank you, the Mooks, Jim, and, of course, Sexy Chris. Jim and I are not sexy.
Well, somebody's got to bring the sexy.
Dogs.
Whatever.
Okay. I practically am a dog now. Fred.
Oh, sorry. I'm attempting something new at the new home studio this morning. I'm going to make us all chicken meatball pasta during the course of the show. So this is kind of like Animal Planet meets Food Network.
So you have pasta on the boil upstairs with no one watching.
No, I haven't started yet. It's going to go in stages.
Fred's got it covered. He's good.
What if the pasta boils over and you start a fire?
That's not going to happen. It can't be worse than the time I tried to cook a potato in the microwave in foil.
That wasn't your house.
Right. Well, see?
That's the difference.
At least I got skin in the game now.
Yeah.
All right. So, in the back. Okay, so this is very, very exciting.
Yes.
This Texas sport, it rocketed around the interwebs.
Yes, it did.
And I think this is one of the reasons why, gay rights have been moving at such a record pace. I think social media is part of it. But, you know, there are people, we had Chris Cluey on yesterday, and I got so much mail about how amazing he is. He's obviously a straight guy that stepped out very early in a very macho culture of sports and started talking about this. So this guy, what is Dale Hansen?
Yep.
Is a he's a sports anchor in
and he does a commentary from time to time.
Right, you know. In Dallas.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's the heartland of football there.
Yeah. Exactly. And anyway, good for him. He stepped out, and everybody's talking about this. Take a listen.
It was quite a weekend. That little dust up in Lubbock Saturday night. And then yesterday, Missouri's All-American defensive end Michael Sam, the SEC's Defensive Player of the Year and expected to be a third to fifth round pick in the NFL draft, tells the world he's gay. The best defensive player in college football's best conference, only a third to fifth round NFL pick? Really? That is shocking. And I guess that other thing is, too. Michael Sam would be the first openly gay player in the NFL, says he knows there will be problems and they've already started. Several NFL officials telling Sports Illustrated it will hurt him on draft day because a gay player wouldn't be welcome in an NFL locker room. It would be uncomfortable because that's a man's world. You beat a woman and drag her down a flight of stairs, pulling her hair out by the roots, you're the fourth guy taken in the NFL draft. Ooh. You kill people while driving drunk, that guy's welcome. Players caught in hotel rooms with illegal drugs and prostitutes, we know they're welcome. Mm-hmm. Players accused of rape and pay the woman to go away. You lie to police trying to cover up a murder, we're comfortable with that. You love another man, well, now you've gone too far. It wasn't that long ago when we were being told that black players couldn't play in our games because it would be uncomfortable. And even when they finally could, it took several more years before a black man played quarterback because we weren't comfortable with that either. So many of the same people who used to make that argument, and the many who still do, are the same people who say government should stay out of our lives, but then want government in our bedrooms. I've never understood how they feel comfortable laying claim to both sides of that argument. I'm not always comfortable when a man tells me he's gay. I don't understand his world, but I do understand that he's part of mine. Civil rights activist Audre Lorde said, "It is not our differences that divide us. It is our inability to recognize, accept, and celebrate those differences. We've always been able to recognize them. Some of us accept them. And I want to believe that there will be a day when we do celebrate them. I don't know if that day's here yet. I guess we're about to find out. But when I listen to Michael Sam, I do think it's time to celebrate him now."
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Yep.
Social media headlines breaking. Texas has sane people, too.
Yeah.
Proof there is still hope for humanity.
Yeah.
And for my dream, Jim. You know my dream. Karl Rove's face on Fox News. On election night 2016, when that giant map, Texas turns blue,
yep,
goes for Hillary and Governor Wendy Davis. I mean, seriously, that's in Texas.
Yeah. He says he's been getting a little bit of hate mail.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he said... Well,
some support, but also some hate mail.
Yeah, he said some people don't seem to believe this. I honestly didn't think it was going to be that big a deal. That's the biggest deal, yeah, I think, about this. This is a sports anchor in Texas didn't think this would be a big deal.
Yeah.
He said, adding he's received more than 700 overwhelmingly positive email. A lot from the U.S., one from a young high school boy in Canada. When asked for his thought process on taking such a firm stance and then broadcasting it, he said, "I write only what I believe, and I simply believe what I wrote. Seems like common sense to me, nothing more or less."
Firm stance, not the same thing as wide stance.
Oh,
right. No, that's an entirely different thing. But, I mean, compare and contrast him with these NFL cowards,
yep,
that all had to speak anonymously, mm-hmm, about how this is, oh, people aren't ready for this. It's like, no, you're not ready for this. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, sexy liberal John Fugelsang next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller
provided the guidance I needed to avoid a life of responsibility.
All right, here is the update. Everybody, I've chopped the garlic. I have turned the water on to boil for the pasta. I am defrosting the chicken meatballs in the microwave, and we are that's where we are. I am making chicken meatball pasta this morning.
Why?
Listen, we want to open our opportunities. You know, Food Channel might be interested. Paula Deen's out. We've got Animal Planet already interested.
Paula Deen just got a huge investment. Did you read about that?
I heard. I'm like, really? Really? That's my problem. I'm not racist enough. Okay.
That's it.
Yeah. Eh, boy. Right. All right. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. As you know, we are very, very excited. The big Sexy Liberal 2014 tour about to kick off this Saturday in Phoenix.
Don't get fancy. No. Just get dancy. This Saturday is the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour in Phoenix.
Ride, turn up the night. We're going to party Saturday night.
Sexy Liberals.
That's the wheelie roll.
Yeah. I love when it's all too much.
Come on,
no, turn the radio up. Where's Mama at?
There she is.
Come on.
This Saturday, February 15th, come raise your glass to another fabulous year of the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, starring Stephanie Miller, John Fugelsang, and Carlos El Rocky. With special guest Jim Ward. So, don't forget to wear your tennis pad or Depends for that unexpected leak. Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. I just peed a little. I'll be right back.
And Chris LaVoy, too.
I'll be there. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, well, someone will tell you who's in charge.
Fugelsang,
someone knows.
What?
Fugelsang. He's so
fun. Lord. Good morning, John Fugelsang.
Good morning, Mama. How y'all doing?
Yay!
You're sounding especially sultry this morning.
Oh, well, you see, it's just such lovely weather here. Oh, my God, you have no idea how... there's like 9 layers of snow in New York City right now.
Oh.
This week's snow, there's Tuesday's snow, there's last weekend's snow, and all these layers of bedrock are separated by a thin sheen of dog urine. And otherwise...
Well, it's supposed to be close to 90 degrees in Phoenix this weekend. So.
There you go.
That's amazing. I was in Asheville last week, and then I was in San Francisco over the weekend, so to be around actual real weather was delightful. So
yeah.
It's horrible, and I was really dumb to ever leave you and move back here.
That's right, and this is my job now, and then I'll be taking you to Fort Lauderdale, as you know, in a couple of weeks for Sexy Liberal March 1st. I don't know if you know, Judy Tenuta is going to join us on panel.
I do know Judy Tenuta will be joining us. It's going to be a real fun show for Pride Week in Fort Lauderdale. And hey, two Sexy Liberal shows in 1 month. What's happened to
what?
Us?
What?
Looking like a real tour this year.
Yeah, they'll approve that.
Madison in March. Oh my God. Already sold out. By the way, she actually did, Jim. She wrote me back and said it could happen. And asked some details, and then she said yes. Anyway, John Fugelsang, we were just, we played this Dallas sports anchor in this just incredible, pro Michael Sam, gay rights rant, and it was amazing.
That guy was wonderful. And look, not everyone needs to have a gay kid before they can open up their heart. It's really amazing watching these people outraged that Michael Sam came out. I guess they're not mad that he's gay. They're mad that he would come out and tell people that he's gay. And it's going to be a real pleasure on behalf of the 21st century watching these people slowly die off over the next 50 years.
Well, you know, John, we had a caller that it's amazing how these arguments go where he said, well, I don't, care. Why are you going to talk about it? Why are you going to shove it in my face? They don't realize that every simple day-to-day act of someone going, hey, I'm Bob. This is my wife, Carol.
Yep. Why do you got to throw that in my face? Right, why are you sticking your heterosexuality down my throat?
Yeah. I know. So anyway, but wow, I mean, it really, and we were just talking to Carl Frisch, we've had, Kentucky now, Nevada, just a lot of big gay dominoes about to fall, it seems like.
Well, you know what, next time you want to feel down about things, just remember, like, this is happening in America. America is really, in many ways, leading the way on this. There are other countries more progressive than us, but not with as many conservatives as we have, and this is just such a sign of human evolution, you know. We've seen no minority group in history make this swift of civil rights strides in so short a period of time. And it's the sort of thing that makes you proud to be an American and want to wave flags and go to a sexy liberal show.
Nice one. By the way, I don't know if you know anything about religion, John Fugelsang. I don't know if you've ever spoken about
that. Just in that. I know what the homophobes think.
But there's a new poll of Catholics. The headline is Catholics Still Lead the Way on Gay Marriage, a new poll of Catholics worldwide. Despite the thunder from the Vatican against same-sex marriage, a majority of American Catholics support marriage equality. That's actually a big deal, right?
That's a huge deal, because Catholics know everything we do is a sin, so who cares what the gays do? We're already evil. They can't be worse than us.
And meanwhile, I was saying a lot of these arguments, whether it's, the locker room arguments for football or they just sound so archaic, don't they? This Representative Tim Huell's camp, did you hear about him, Republican of Kansas?
Oh, what a guy, yeah.
Right, he told his colleagues on the floor Tuesday evening, there's a third person in your marriage.
And it's God.
God.
It's God.
Yeah,
but God likes to watch. It's not so much an actor anyway.
Oh, ecclesiastical.
Yeah, it's pretty hilarious. So God's in your mouth. This is the best argument he can have. And he can't quote anything from the Bible. I'll say it again. I keep asking your listeners to call up and show me which Bible verse says that consensual same-sex relationships between adults are wrong. And they can't do it.
Yep. He was speaking out in support of National Marriage Week. which, aims to strengthen individual marriage, reduce the divorce rate, and build a stronger marriage culture.
Mm.
Oh, I know what would help that, too, is letting everyone get married and maybe outlawing divorce. What about
that? He needs natural, highly selective marriage week.
Yeah. He said it's important for so important for kids to have both a mommy and a daddy. He said marriage can be tough, but God is calling you to do everything you can. It's not just you and your spouse. There's a third person in your marriage, and God would like to bless and protect that marriage and give you many fruitful days ahead. Wow, that's like...
So every time you have sex, you have to have kids.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So seniors can't get married, and boy, I wish, you know, can we... It's like, when are these guys going to come out against God for creating all these horrible anti-God gays?
Yeah. Well, fruitful, he didn't mean, you know, he meant the right kind of fruit. You know what we're saying.
It's hilarious. And again, you know, being gay is natural, hating gay is a lifestyle choice. These guys are dying off, and... It's really going to help the Democratic Party. I mean, if the homophobia and the stink of it, it doesn't help the Democrats at least take back part of the House. It's going to be really sad because these guys are on the wrong side of history, just like the folks who used religion to argue for segregation were on the wrong side of history.
Yep. Well, you know, listen, that's why we're having a happy, clappy, hopeful 2014 election year sexy liberal tour, because, I'm with you, John. I refuse to believe that people... if you look at pretty much every issue, they are not for what the House Republicans are for.
They're not, and they don't speak for you, and they don't own God, and they don't own you, conservatives. And, you know, I really think that this might be the most important midterm election of our lifetime. And that's why, you know, I wanted to do this tour, and I was glad you and Carlos's parole officer agreed on that.
Yeah, that was
Latino,
a lucky stroke.
By the way, just so you know.
He did what?
He's Latino, by the way, so, you know, we're smuggling one into Arizona. Just keep that in mind.
Has someone invited Sheriff Arpaio?
I've met Sheriff Arpaio. I did a show with Bill Maher in his prison, and that guy would deport Jesus. Who's this brown guy with who can't speak English and has no papers? Ship him to Juarez.
John, this is now we're brainstorming. We could use the publicity for Sexy Liberal if Sheriff Arpaio would arrest Carlos on stage Saturday night.
Arpaio's office is just a few blocks away from the.
Put some pink underpants on him.
Yeah.
We could use the.
Yeah, that guy, there's a lump of coal for a heart there. I've met him, and I've been inside that jail. And, we used to call prisons reformatories or penitentiaries, places to be penitent. That place is just a humiliation camp where they make you wear the Hamburglar costume and sleep in Korean War-era tents in the desert.
You know, interesting you bring that up, John. You know who's booked tomorrow on the show? My best friend, Dr. Wanda, who...
That's right.
Is my oldest friend, who's a psychologist in a men's maximum security prison here in California. She does it instead of Match.com. But but there's a great piece everybody's talking about, Nicholas Kristof in the New York Times, about how our jails have become a mental hospital. You know.
Yeah, it's true. Did Nicholas Kristof write that, or was that a Dylan Farrow piece? He gave
it.
Oh,
all right.
No, it's very, very true. I think I told you, in my PBS film that I'm working on, I've spent a lot of time in prisons. I'm interviewing Paul Krugman tomorrow, but we were in Sing Sing 2 weeks ago. And, you know, it's amazing. There was this whole program that Governor Pataki cut back in the 90s and wouldn't allow any inmates to get college degrees. Now, you know, again, they used to call these places reformatories, where men who were paying their debt to society went to improve and become a better person. So they started this program that was completely privately funded, and now they've graduated over 400 people from college who then got out of prison and have a 0% recidivism rate. You know, they're still humans, and it works. And they deserve the right to vote, by the way, once they've paid their debt.
Yeah, and, you know, you've talked a lot about the death penalty, and it is interesting. Where was the latest... I'm blanking the latest governor that said because you know that's the thing. It's just if it happened fairly, but it just doesn't. Chris mentioned this affluenza case yesterday. Mm-hmm. This kid that got off, you know,
in Texas, I believe
right,
it was, yeah,
for driving drunk and killing how many people? You know, I mean.
Those are the death penalty is administered about as equally as the full body scan machines are administered equally in America's airports. And until they can prove that everyone's going to get the same punishment for the same crime, it's, you know, aside from the fact that it costs more than keeping someone in jail for life, and it's completely against the Bible.
And John, I'm going to lose it, but if this guy in Florida gets off that shot into a car full of black teenagers and killed one, mm-hmm. And is using stand your ground as a defense, I mean, this case seems ridiculous. But if he gets off, I mean.
Well, you know, Karl Marx always said religion is the opium of the people, and he never imagined 500 cable channels with porn on demand. And it's kind of sad that we're so narcotized that it takes a series of outrages for Americans to get up and take control of the wheel again. and take the wheel back from Alec and the right wing who are driving this country into the ditch of feudalism.
Yeah.
So while it would be awful if he got acquitted, I think it would hopefully, the silver lining would be that would be the straw that broke the camel's back, and people would stand up and just say this is an embarrassment to our country and our state.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I mean, I've said it on your show before, but stand your ground means, you know, you're allowed to kill someone if you're losing a fight you started.
Yeah, exactly right. John Fugelsang, I hear there's a rumor you may call in yet again today, a little later in the show.
Oh, he can stay with us for another segment. We have him scheduled for another segment.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Woot!
Yeah.
All right, hang
on.
Hang on. All right, we continue Fridays. Or no, it's Thursdays with Fugelsang.
Thursdays was Fugelsang.
I'm all Patty Wampus.
Oh,
we're all traveling to Phoenix. All right, so more Fridays or Thursdays with Fugelsang as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, I like her.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I wanna have some fun. I wanna have fun. Move my body on that line.
Move my body on that line.
What? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Listen, I'm attending to my womanly duties. I can't just be worried about this show. Okay. 50 minutes after the hour. Listen, okay, everyone wants an update as to where we are, right, Jim? The fun facts as to where we are in the chicken meatball pasta that Mama is preparing for the entire crew this morning.
Really?
Are we at the stage where we call the fire department?
No.
No, okay.
Travis, in addition to associate producing and screening, is because I'm sauteing, the garlic and onions, and so he needs to go check it. It's on simmer, though. It's on the lowest thing. And the water's not boiling yet, but he needs to check that, too.
You're only supposed to simmer garlic for, like, a minute. Otherwise, it burns, and it ruins the entire dish.
All right. Travis, you better get on that.
Oh, my God.
Travis, just turn the heat off, since we have so many people that are so persnickety.
Well,
hi, John Fugelsang. Good morning again.
Hi. Good morning. It's great to be part of your domestic spat.
Garlic flambé.
Yeah, great.
I respect that. I consume enough garlic with every dish to be able to have my breath signal a potential rescue plane, so I respect that. If I'm not setting off carbon monoxide alarms, I haven't had enough garlic.
You are pale enough to look like a vampire, so the fact that you're around garlic that much is very, very, it's impressive.
It's very true. I scare all the other vampires away because I'm not a conformist.
By the way, this hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. I've had many GoToMeetings with John Fugelsang, and he is almost translucent. And yet,
I always say to Stephanie, go to a meeting.
That's a different kind. This
that's a sponsor. Sorry.
Right. Go to meeting with HD Faces by Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with your team online. From anyway, start your 30-day free trial of GoToMeeting today. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the try it free button. Use the promo code Stephanie. Most of you don't have to endure the startling handsomeness of John Fugelsang in HD video quality.
Well,
it's almost too much to take.
Well,
the current protected them from that.
Yes, we'll be seeing them in person this weekend.
Well, listen, it's like you've got to have special glasses. You can't look directly into it.
Let me also say how exciting it is that we'll be having special guest Chris Lavoie joining us on stage.
And Jim Ward.
I really think you're pumping that up a little more than you should be.
And you should know about pumping something up more than it should be.
You're doing panel, Chris. You're going to be on stage. But
yeah.
This is what's exciting to me, and what I've been telling people when I feed them chloroform about the new tour is that this is going to be sort of like the closest you'll get to seeing the show live. Because when we had Jim on stage in Seattle for the Q&A, it was just terrific, and it gave the crowd a chance to see you guys riffing and improvising, and it brings out a whole new comedic side to everybody, and it was really wonderful. So I'm really thrilled about having Mr. Alice Rocky. I'm not going to vouch for him if INS comes, but it's still going to be a great show in Arizona. So
I'm going to make sure that he doesn't have his papers, so there's a good chance of him getting arrested for the publicity.
Can you think of a better way we can get more publicity for this tour?
Alice Rocky, that sounds like an Arab name.
Listen, it's almost as desperate and pathetic an outreach to the Latino vote as the RNC is trying.
Oh, well, yeah, but at least we're not completely alienating them in doing so. I mean, it's just amazing to see how many, Republicans realize you'll never get the White House without the Latino vote, and how many, former Confederate slave state representatives saying, we don't care about Latino vote. I don't want to be nice to Latinos, because then I got a Tea Party challenger crazier than me.
No, you know, when Carlos was in this week, we were saying, and you know this, John, I've actually known Carlos the longest of any of you.
Right.
We met Jim through Carlos. Carlos was my sketch player on my late night TV show in 95, and so he really is family, and so it's really a fun, in fact, wait, can I have some love music? John, you've probably met Terry, the official crocheter of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Yes.
Right? Didn't she say she crocheted a blanket for you, didn't she?
Yes, she said so.
This is what sexy liberal family is like. Terry wrote, I don't know what to say, I just finished watching the video, I believe the show,
yep.
From when Carlos was here. I'm speechless to all of you, thank you. I never expected a shout-out on the air. I cannot tell you how big a smile was on my face.
Aww.
When I saw Carlos snuggling a hefty bag with a baby blanket in it that I actually made. This past year has been a really strange one, not knowing if you're looking at shuffling off this mortal coil of life or life is just throwing you a bad joke, kind of changes your perspective on things. One of the reasons I've been making blankets is because I still have the one blanket my great-grandmother made for my great-grandfather over 100 years ago. And it gave me a sense of continuity, of permanence, of remembrance, and maybe just maybe the idea of hope. So when I make an Afghan or a baby blanket or a cat toy, there's endless joy and hope of a new life beginning, like Austin's or Camden's, who are Carlos's little boys, or the incredibly pale
girls.
On
Vagina Island.
Sorry. Or the incredibly pale Fugel sayings, Leviathan, son. You're enormous child.
It
means whale-like.
Or a new connection with a new friend, or the idea that maybe someone will curl up with that blanket next to a fireplace with a lover. Well, that's not me, but thanks. Or a couple of beautiful, handsome, romantic puppies the size of New York, and feel good and loved and wanted at the end of the day. And just for that, I'll never be able to thank you enough. Jim, be warned, you and Janice are next on the blanket hit list. All right. Oh, and by the way, when you're in Chicago, you got to go to Petrillo's for Italian beef sausage combo sandwich. It's the best Italian sausage. And there's a tip for Chicago. Sexy liberal right. In April.
Petrillo's.
All right. Yeah, right. Good sausage.
And good vipers. I love a bag of vipers and some fries.
And a side of bag of glass.
Side of glass. Side of broken glass.
So John Fugel saying.
Yes.
By the way, we have Antoinette Tuff on the show in hour number three. We were just talking about this ridiculous stand your ground case going on in Florida right now. But I thought, boy, isn't that everything that you always talk about? How, you know, it was not a good guy, quote unquote good guy with a gun that disarmed that and prevented that Sandy Hook. It was someone, pure empathy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And human love and kindness, right?
Well, exactly, yeah. I mean, sort of the opposite of stand your ground. And again, you know, the more conservatives learn what ALEC does, the angrier it should make them, that these guys just write these laws and then your representatives cut and paste them to try to hurt working people. And stand your ground, I'll say it again, if you're getting your ass kicked in a fight you started, you're allowed to kill the guy. That's pretty much what the law is. Yeah. On Katie Couric last week, I pointed out how George Zimmerman should be the greatest embarrassment to responsible gun owners, because he did everything you're not supposed to do. If he'd identified himself as having a weapon, that kid's still alive. If he hadn't followed the guy and ignored law enforcement, he'd still be alive. If he hadn't followed the guy in violation of all neighborhood watch rule books, that kid would still be alive. And, you know, yep. I understand the Fox News mentality of defending anyone that, you know, normal people don't like. But this is only hurting you. And we're watching the Republican Party shrink and shrink. And
by the way, I texted you about this. But number one, I saw him on Katie Couric's show. I actually audibly gasped because I was like, who is that? Oh, it's that unbelievably handsome John Fugel saying. And then he got
long again.
He got an applause break on almost everything he said. And I'm like, that's my boy. You were so great.
Well, thank you.
So
part
great.
Of that is because, you know, the audience had been told that I was the child of Matthew Broderick and K.D. Lang, so they were minimal.
No, they were not. You can see that spectacularness on stage with us at the very first Phoenix show, the Sexy Liberal 2014 this Saturday, and then check Sexy Liberal Facebook for all the upcoming shows. Love you, John. See you in Phoenix Saturday.
Love you. It's going to be a great show this weekend. I'll see all y'all there at the Orpheum.
Yay! All right, honey. See ya. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel good. Hey, I'm right now, and I feel good.
Oh, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. It's about to get a little more family when Jackie Schechner gets here in about a half an hour for Jackie's Healthcare Corner and just general awesomeness. All right. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere.
Meanwhile, you know, the sous chef can't answer the phones because
he's sauteing garlic.
Right. You said this is a great story. I'm like, I know, the sous chef told me. Everybody, Travis is doing a fantastic job. And if you'll be happy to know the garlic did not burn. Here's where we are. Let's review. Okay. I put the sauce in. We were sauteing the onions and the garlic.
Right.
Yes, now the sauce is in. The chicken meatballs are in. Mm-hmm. It's on a low simmer. And the pasta's boiling. It's almost ready. The sous chef, don't call now because he can't answer the phone. He's sous chefing.
Is that in his job description?
Listen, the home studio, it's a whole new magical little thing here.
A boy named sous chef.
See, I told you this is going to be Animal Planet meets, you know, what's the cooking network?
Food Network.
Yesterday was like the Osbournes because Jim came in late, stumbled over the dog, started yelling.
And vomiting.
Sharon, I think I missed my trousers again.
And now what are we doing this weekend? We're all going on a road trip.
So it becomes the Travel Channel.
Now we'll be the Travel Channel. We're all going to Phoenix this weekend for the first Sexy Liberal Show. At least we won't be staying in a, you know, Sochi-style hotel.
Be sure to wash your hands. If you are coming here, make some other plans. Please wash your hands. All right.
Good Doug Engel impression.
Yeah. Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. We even got Jim to headbang on that one. Have you noticed that Jim will headbang, but he will not do rap hands when we played, you know?
I take care of the rap hands.
Yeah, me too. You and I do rap hands. Jim will not participate.
No.
You really don't do rap hands.
Do something.
No, you just kind of flail like you're having a seizure.
Oh, is that why you put a pencil on my tongue?
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You know.
I'm fine. I'm dancing. Okay. All right, this was the love story you were telling me about, the sous chef was mentioning to me.
Yes.
Thank you, sous chef. He's producing and sous chefing. Uh-huh. You better be careful.
Oh.
A little ball about Eve going on out there.
Okay.
A little bit.
Here, Miss Miller, I'd be happy to chop your garlic and find stories for you. What does Chris do?
Oh, he wasn't that pleased to do it for you, believe me.
What'd he say?
I'm not telling you.
Look, any good reality show needs backbiting. Tell me what you said.
I'm not telling you. I think there was a little grumbling involved. That's about it. Yes.
Well, fine. Okay. Olympian on a mission to save Sochi stray dogs.
Yeah.
After the organizers of the Winter Olympics decided to get rid of stray dogs in the streets of Sochi, one skier went out of the half pipe to save some puppies.
Yep.
United States free skier Gus Kenworthy decided to take upon his own hands to save the stray dogs and put them in a good home.
And his lovely wife, Barbie Worthy.
He spent all afternoon playing with a gang of stray puppies here in Sochi. He tweeted. He posted on his Facebook page with a photo of the dogs. Mm-hmm. He said he's looking to find a good home for the puppies, but does not want to take them away from their mother because she was being super cute and protective over them.
Aww.
He also tweeted that he made vaccination appointments for the pups. He said there's also a Russian billionaire that's over there trying to save the dogs.
Aww. So the Olympics are now the Puppy Bowl.
Yes, basically.
Kevin in D.C., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kevin.
Well, good morning, lovely Stephanie.
Hello, good morning.
Stephanie Miller, the only thing better than an alarm clock for getting a man fucked in the morning.
Oh, boy.
I don't know what that, I don't know what that meant. Okay.
Listen,
I'll pretend I didn't. Okay, go ahead.
I know you're going to have Jackie checking on later.
Yes.
Later. And I hope she mentioned...
Speaking of things that make men rise in the morning, yes.
Yes, indeed. I hope she mentioned there's a cover story on the Washington Post today about the fact that the enrollment for the health care, 1.2 million, is exceeded for the first time projections and of that number, 27% were young people, which is better than the 24% of the previous 3 months combined.
Yep. Yep.
So it's a colossal failure.
Yes,
is your point.
Precisely.
I was waiting for the breathless headlines about that, but I didn't see any of it. Oh, and this follows, by the way, the Post did a cover story last month, Sunday, about all these, I believe it was the state of Kentucky, these people also being treated that, you know, had never done before. So, again, why do you hate a president who's trying to get people affordable health care and it appears to be working despite the GOP's best efforts? What's that about again?
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm sure Jackie will have plenty to say. Also, there's a great piece in the LA Times on this Republican alternative, which I said that it's just crap.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I mean, it's just for them to say, oh, we have ideas, too. It's like, yeah, you have bad ideas, right?
So again, and I don't try to demonize one, but I'm just trying to have someone give me a logical reason, even if you think it's not being implemented correctly, okay, but it's law now. Why are you so against it and giving people something that they desperately need? Well, I don't get the logic. I don't get the reasoning.
Yeah, I know. I agree. No? Okay, never mind. Sorry. we were calling audibles here. all right. I love you, Kevin. Thank you. All right, let's go to Kayla in Milwaukee. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kayla.
Hi, it's Kaylin, by the way, but I was just wanting to let you know that I'm your sister in pasta making because I'm making chicken noodle soup right now.
Oh, good. Fabulous.
So, yes, and what I wanted to talk about was the young man, the NFL player, Sam, and, you know, that announcer in Texas, I read the article on HuffPost today, and it just, you know, really blew me away.
Yeah.
And here in Green Bay, you know, our team, or rather officially our team, is in support of this young man, which is great.
That's right.
And our quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, they even questioned his sexuality. He's like, what for? And the reason is he's a very private person. I love when people who are in public so much are actually able to have a private life. You know, I don't need to know about his private life and what he does. It's none of my business. He goes out and does a job every Sunday and, you know, gets the job done. That's all that's really important, you know. And then one of the things is how all the sports, you know, like they say, they put machoism in sports and they, you know, try to put him up on pedestals that they're, you know, they're the man's man. Well, that's not really the case. It's your character.
Yeah.
You know, that makes you who you are as a woman or a man, and it's not who you love or who you want to be with, but, you know, how they idolize, and I told the individual that, like, what happened with Dwayne Wade, he's engaged to Gabrielle Union now.
Right.
You know, and supposedly they had some little break, which nobody knows about, but now he's got a kid that he produced with this woman while he was in a relationship with her, and we still accept him, you know, like he's, and like the man was saying, all of the things that the athletes do that are bad, but then, you know, oh, you know, they're men because they're, you know, what?
Right, but they're straight bad. They're straight bad things, so that doesn't count.
Right.
Right, exactly.
As I said yesterday, a gay man is by definition a man's man.
So. Right, right.
Sure, there goes that.
Technically. We're just saying. All right. Kids, how fun was Sexy Liberal John Bugle thing today?
It was.
Ken in Fort Lauderdale, right, staff? We were so excited yesterday morning when you announced the show, or whenever we announced it, in Fort Lauderdale, March 1st. This was a special one. We were invited, so
right.
This was a special last-minute edition. Couldn't believe our ears. I blew the budget, purchased 2 VIP tickets, front row left. Oh, let me write that down, front row left. Okay. Thanks so much. We'd really given up on this happening this year. Me too. We were actually trying to do it in January, and we couldn't. There was too much stuff going
right.
on. So we're thrilled to squeeze it in, as most of your performances are booked so far in advance. Take care, safe travels, and we're so excited. Waiting to see you in the show. Ken and Art waiting. It is Pride Weekend in Fort Lauderdale, and Judy Tenuta has just agreed to join us as a celebrity guest.
Could happen.
It did happen.
Yeah.
It did happen. I actually write to her in Goddess. I write, oh, Goddess.
How do you spell that?
Oh,
a lot of dashes, I guess. We need to have her in studio again.
I know. She is just too much.
Or in-house.
Yeah.
She's too much. Oh, I actually even wrote in accordion sting. I was Goddess. Oh, accordion sting. all right. So, yeah, the big ones, with you two MOOCs. Chris and Jim, this Saturday in Phoenix is the first one. Fort Lauderdale, March 1st. Madison is sold out in March, but Chicago going crazy at the box office for April 26th and Albuquerque Saturday, May 10th. Go. Get it. Do it. Jackie Schechner coming up live in studio, right?
I know.
speaking of sexy liberals.
And Jim, keep your tongue to yourself.
Exactly,
when she sits
Jim.
Down.
Come on now. Come on now. 16 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
I'm a new soul. I came to this strange world hoping I could learn a bit about how to give and take. But since I came here, felt the joy and the fear, finding myself making every possible mistake. La 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 la.
All right. The big news, pasta's done, everybody. Help yourselves, not now. Okay. Jackie Schechner's here. She was helping. She sous-chefed in place of Travis.
I helped.
Okay. She will join us for Jackie's healthcare corner and fresh pasta.
I smell garlic.
At the bottom of the hour, right? That was me. Sorry, it's all over me. Okay. 22 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Yes, what?
You started cooking during the show.
What happens when I have no leftovers. Okay, Mark in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Stephanie. One, thank you for mentioning. I'm actually the producer of the Pride Fest.
Oh, hi, Mark. How are you? Thank you
I'm
so much.
I'm actually doing lovely. Oh, not a problem. Judy called me last night and asked me. She said, Stephanie Miller called me. I'm like, okay, yes.
She's such a name dropper.
Isn't she? But, yeah, our festival is going on that weekend also for the 2 days. We've got to her, Tiffany, Lisa, and Sheena Easton performing that weekend.
Sheena Easton? Oh.
Hello, you guys sounded like the Gay Tabernacle Choir.
Oh, my God, I love her. I'm coming. I am coming to that. That's so exciting. And you're coming to
and
Sexy
you're,
Liberal,
you're not
right?
Even breathing hard. I love it.
Mark, you're a dirty little man.
Actually, we are a 100% all-volunteer organization that does this every year now. We actually started back in 1977 when Anita Bryant started. So we're one of the eldest.
Started talking, right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, when she lost her orange juice contract and then lost her husband and everything else.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
I feel so bad for her.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, my God. That is like a blast from the past. I can't remember now. What did she say exactly? I remember... It was just so...
That homosexuals can become ex-homosexuals.
Oh, that whole thing.
Just like Negroes can become ex-Negroes.
and she became an ex-orange juice consultant.
Yes, exactly.
God, doesn't that seem like a zillion years ago? Wow.
We're really excited about you being in town during our event. And actually, the Parker Playhouse where you're performing is in the same park that our venue is at.
Oh, cool.
Oh, how exciting. Yeah. It was just a surprise. It was an invitation we couldn't say no to. So we're so excited. And Judy's going to do panel. You're going to be there.
Yeah, and actually the day before you're going to be there, the night before, Judy Gold and Bruce Valanche is going to be in.
I heard. Oh,
very
my
cool.
God. I love both of them so much. Well, Mark, I was going to say, I'm glad you called, though, because we were saying, when you bring up Anita Bryant, and you think what a different day and time that was. I don't know if you've seen this, Dallas sportscaster everybody's talking about today, straight guy, talking about Michael Sam coming out and how powerful that was and how far we've come, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm in honesty, I'm 51 years old. I'm a retired Air Force vet.
Wow.
And I remember, even my days where, we all had to hide in the corners and make sure we had somebody that actually in the OSI office. So we always knew when there was going to be a bust at one of the bars. So we didn't go there.
Wow.
Even in my lifetime. The changes that have happened.
You had to be careful even saying cockpit, I imagine. Made you feel nervous.
Hello? And I was a nurse. I was a nurse. I wasn't even allowed to be a head nurse and on my knees. It was awful.
You with the witty repartee.
Woody repartee?
Woody. I didn't say Woody. Witty.
It sounded like you said Woody.
I'm the gay version of Don Rickles. I can't
help. Yeah, hockey puck.
But we were also saying, a lot of these states, whether Kentucky, Nevada, all these red states, in terms of marriage equality, it really is a little, even for people like you and I, it's a little bewildering how quickly this is happening.
Well, on top of that, the state of Florida a few years back passed a law, it did two things. One, it said gay marriage was illegal. And two, it said anything in paper or in writing that looks like a gay marriage also is illegal.
Yeah.
So yeah. My partner and I, we can't have wills willing things to each other because it's illegal.
Wow.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, you know, and also just so you know, at our festival, this just shows how changed it's going to be. The Florida Panthers are going to be there with a skating rink, and some of the Panthers are going to be there. Now,
wow.
Who's going to say that a hockey team would actually come to a gay event?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know, so times have changed, and it's only for the better. You know, once we can get rid of, you know, Mr. Burns up in Tallahassee, you know.
Mr. Burns, excellent. That would be excellent.
Excellent!
Oh, that's the wrong one.
That's the wrong one.
Excellent.
That's the right one.
There you go.
We're going to get Charlie Christen. He's not hard to look at, so we don't mind.
Yeah. No, he was just on the show last week. I mean, yeah,
and what a change he's gone through.
Right, and you talk to him, and you're like, oh, no, he's way too sane to be a Republican anymore. There is no way. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you know this, Mark, but my dad, you know, ran with Goldwater, and Goldwater, you know, famous for saying about gays in the military, you don't have to be straight, you just have to shoot straight. I mean,
yeah, that's exactly it. You know, I mean, you know, just because I'm in a foxhole with you doesn't mean I'm going to want to jump. Trust me.
Right.
Right. Exactly. what was I going to say? Yeah, but I think that I'm really, it's interesting that the Virginia case, of course, is next up. And I thought, how apropos would that be where, you know, the interracial marriage, you know, the Loving case obviously started. That could be the case that goes to the Supreme Court and gets marriage equality for all of us. How awesome would that be?
It would be absolutely fabulous. I mean, my partner's from Pittsburgh, so we're waiting for Pennsylvania, which hopefully will be soon.
And I was saying, quite coincidentally, I've become good friends with a guy that is the brother of the NFL commissioner, and he's been with his husband for 30 years. And I said, that's the kind of stuff that affects attitudes, is that, you know, it's been in people's families and people they love for so long. You know,
look at the CEO of Disney.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been with his partner for forever, you know.
The new CEO of Apple, Tim Cook.
Right.
Yes, the new CEO, yes. I mean, the fact of the matter is, our relationships are no different. We fight over stupid things. We, you know, it's absolutely no difference. In all honesty, I've had 17 surgeries for cancer in 10 years now. And my partner, like any other partner or wife, has been at every single surgery.
Wow.
You know, we love each other just like anybody else.
Wow.
Just because we're two men means absolutely nothing.
Listen, all I know is I'm going to dance to a Sheena Easton love song with you at Pride in Fort Lauderdale on March 1st.
It would be my absolute honor. I absolutely adore you.
Thank you, honey.
Listening to you.
We'll see you in Fort Lauderdale. Mark, thanks so much. We'll see you there.
Take care.
All right. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Get those tickets. They're going very, very fast. Small theater for us in Fort Lauderdale. All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Back with Jackie Schechner live in studio on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Mom, I got beavers again. Ew.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Ooh, the pasta's ready. It's delicious, everybody. Go get some. Who's the prettiest sous chef in the world?
Hello, world. Here's the news that's ringing. Come on, get Jackie.
Good morning, Jackie Schechner.
Well, good morning.
Good to see you.
I said that if we had a new show on the Cooking Channel or the Food Network, it would be How to Burn Stuff with Jackie Schechner.
Right. She would have a segment, How to Burn Stuff with Jackie Schechner.
Nice.
This, yes, exactly.
Call 911.
Right. Cooking that will require health care. How long should I microwave that with Jackie Schechner?
Good morning, precious. We were saying, so the good news is we've hit 3 million in Obamacare enrollment, correct?
Yes. The about 3 million people have signed up for health care through the exchanges, so that's good news.
And younger Americans, it looks like after 4 months of enrollment, younger Americans signing up for Obamacare in greater proportions, you were saying not enough.
Still not the proportions that they would like.
Right. But as you were saying, because kids don't do things till the last minute.
Yeah. I said that, you know, like myself, wait till the very last minute. And then I said, well, I like to pretend I'm still in my 20s.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting till the very last minute to admit that I'm not.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, the idea is that people are taking advantage of what's available, and they're seeing that there are options through the health insurance exchanges, and it's making it a little bit easier to shop. We talked about this a bit last time, and I think it's probably a good thing to continue to bring up because I'm still discovering more and more about it, is that I'm not convinced that some of the health insurance companies, especially the Blues, are doing the right thing when it comes to the kinds of plans that they're offering through the exchanges. But people are getting access to health care for the first time, or health insurance, rather, for the first time, and that is a good thing.
Well, they had to pay for those big anthem signs.
Yes.
That was really important.
The commercials say, we now offer you all sorts of yummy things, and then in small print it says, because the law mandates it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but you made a good point last time about, you know, obviously Obamacare has become a convenient excuse when it could be the insurance companies that are doing these things. One of the things you were talking about last time is excluding certain doctors or hospitals. And, you know, it's interesting. I was, you know, reading a couple of insurance company executives were saying, like, well, they basically decided people wanted lower premiums, so they're the ones with limited choice, not the president, not Obamacare, right?
What I'm discovering right now, I've been doing a little bit of non-scientific research, and just coincidentally, I had a couple of things that I needed to take care of in the medical field. It's nothing big. I a little too much soul cycle, and
right.
I strained something in the back of my neck. So, you know, you end up going to facilities to get an X-ray, or you go to a doctor to get a prescription for physical
therapy.
That was
just weakness leaving the body.
Exactly. Yes. Right. Sweat is fat crying. So anyway, I've had a lot of opportunity over the last few weeks to ask some questions and make some phone calls. And then I just did a little unscientific research myself over the last couple of days and called. And what I'm finding from a lot of these providers and facilities is that either Blue Shield or Anthem Blue Cross mm-hmm. have not reached out to them to ask them to participate in these plans that were offered through the exchange. They can't seem to get them on the phone or get in contact with them to find out whether or not they can participate in this network. And then when they do, the reimbursement rates that the Blues are offering are so low that the doctors and facilities are opting out when they're given the option to participate at all. So to me, it says that this is an intentional maneuver, not only to make it difficult for the doctors and facilities to get into these plans and these networks, but also to limit the options within the network, because then what happens is you pay your premiums and then you pay out more out of pocket on top of that, and the insurance company doesn't have to reimburse you as often.
Hmm. Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, we were saying it wasn't like this law was going to suddenly magically make the insurance companies so altruistic.
Yeah. No, and one of the weird quirks here in California, and I don't know if this is the case in other states, is that the insurance commissioner here has the right to review things like rate increases, but he doesn't have any actual power to do anything about
right.
it. There's a vote coming up in November,
yeah,
a ballot
there's a bill
initiative.
Going through.
Right, will allow people to vote on allowing our insurance commissioner to have some teeth, and I would encourage people who think that they don't have any recourse to pay close attention to that and to get out and vote, because the insurance companies are spending a lot of money trying to fight this because they want to be able to continue to have free reign. Mm-hmm. So the best thing that we can do is to know what the real language is behind that initiative and those bills and to get out and vote so that we have some power once and for all.
I guess the insurance commissioner didn't have dental. He doesn't have any teeth.
The insurance commissioner is British. Wait a minute.
Well, hey.
What?
That wasn't about bad.
They're known for their
right. Oh, okay, let's move on. Jackie, the yes. latest right-wing outrage, of course, was the, in fact, who am I reading? Oh, E.J. Dionne, willful stupidity in the Obamacare debate. I mean, it's once again something where it's their ideas, and now they hate them because the black guy did it.
Stupid I mean, is a stupid does.
As we were saying, John McCain, the Heritage Foundation, talked about job lock, and this is supposed to be a good thing.
Oh,
and are we
talking about the CBO
right,
report?
Right, that, oh, my God, it's killing 2 million jobs. When it's not, it's giving people choice.
Yeah,
right?
No, I put out a link on Twitter, on my Twitter, Jackie Schechner, to take a look at it. It's a good write from CBS that explains what this CBO report was all about. And these things can sound more confusing than they are. It's very, very simple. It was a budget what's the word I'm looking for? An outlook for 10 years right. ahead, right? And of 175 pages, I think about 30 of those were dedicated to the Affordable Care Act and the impact it was going to have on the economy and the budget moving forward over the next decade.
Right.
And what it said essentially was that because people now have choices in health insurance and they don't have to stay in jobs that they're not happy with for the sake of having health insurance, people will have the opportunity to be more mobile. They may choose to work fewer hours or hours in a different right. capacity than being, we call it job lock, being locked into something right. they don't want to be. There was no discussion of losing jobs, but if you don't read
right.
and
yes.
you don't know how to read and you like to grab screaming headlines that aren't actually
yeah.
Real, then that's what you would believe the CBO report said. But it's right. not what it said at all. And all you have to do is do a little homework and read what it actually said to know that that was a huge lie.
Chris and Jim, you know what just occurred to me?
What?
Just about when Obamacare passed, that's when Jackie Schechner left us.
Interesting.
Ah.
Coincidence?
Chin scratch.
Well, when it was implemented. I didn't. It was passed in 2010. I actually
yes.
I left the country back then.
Right.
I went to
Spain. She could not get away from us yes. fast enough.
You worked really hard to help get it passed.
I did, and then I went on vacation to Spain for a month.
Yes.
It was amazing.
Say Spain is pretty.
And ever since then, their economy has been wrecked. So what does that tell you?
Yeah. But, you know, that was the whole talking point, right? Oh, it's encouraging sloth and laziness and, you know. And meanwhile, it's the opposite. It's that people can start their own businesses. From the Family Values Party, if people want to spend more time with their family, you know, so that both parents don't have to work 24/7. I mean, just for health care, right?
I can't see you through this giant
I understand.
Yeah, we'll fix that. We'll fix that during the break.
To switch, but that's okay.
For those of you who are watching, yeah. I have a giant alien head.
I know. It's.
we'll fix that during the break.
Cool.
Yes.
Resistance is futile.
I mean, I've done that. I've stayed in a job that, not this one, but I've stayed in jobs longer than I wanted to because you have that thought of, well, what will
right.
I do about health
right.
insurance?
Mm-hmm. By the way, she's with you. She didn't work for me.
No, I didn't.
I don't even have the money to pay her.
No,
she
I worked
for
Current Television.
Yes.
We have a moment of silence.
Okay, it's all fine now. Here we are, back on Free Speech TV.
Hello.
All right, Jay Carney, by the way, so we were talking about the, it's 3 million. We've hit 3 million sign-ups for Obamacare.
What we are confident about is that will be a large number, and it will be a population that is diverse enough to allow the marketplaces to function effectively.
Yeah, can we just, I want to play semantics for 1 second
yes.
and get into the habit
yes,
of not
please.
Saying signing up for Obamacare, because Obamacare isn't a thing you sign up for. The Affordable Care Act set up exchanges where people can go and shop and compare and contrast
right.
plans and buy health insurance, but what you're buying are private health insurance plans.
Yep.
And what they're trying to do is build the sustainable group of individuals where they can have a pool large enough that the finances all work out. I mean, insurance companies are making money on top of money, on top of money. So nobody's at risk of losing anything here. It's not like the insurance companies are in any trouble financially. But what they're saying is that you got to get everybody in the pool so that we have a more equal balance.
Right.
And so that's what they're talking about, getting all of these people signed up. But it's a huge misnomer when we say people signing up for Obamacare, which is a mistake the administration has made from the beginning by using that as well, because it's not a thing you sign up for.
Right.
Right? It's a
right.
law that enacted exchanges that allow us to shop for a private health insurance plan.
Speaking of everyone in the pool, I was noticing the look on Jim's face the last time we tricked you into getting into the pool at one of my pool parties in your skimpy little bikini. It's the same principle, isn't it?
I think we were all in bathing suits and he was in his boxers.
I believe so.
Where was I?
Which is quite a sight if you haven't
not
seen
invited.
I wasn't invited. Yeah,
no. You don't
thing.
Ever come. You don't,
I
don't
do
want to spend
come.
1 second of extra time with me outside of and who can blame you?
Oh, now it broadcasts from your house, so I'm forced to spend more time with you if I have to do extra production.
Job lock. What are you going to do? All right. 44 minutes after the hour. Lots of folks on the lines want to talk to Jackie. We have her job locked in for the entire rest of the show.
That's right.
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Stephanie Miller.
is the Stephanie Miller Show. Jackie Schechner live in studio, 49 minutes after the hour. Jim, everyone's waiting for the verdict. How is the pasta?
Well, I didn't put any pasta in there. I just have the meatballs.
Why no pasta?
I couldn't find it.
It's in the sink, in the strainer.
Ah, carbs, too.
Oh, for God. Yeah, I know. Carbs. Look at all these muscle boys won't eat my pasta. However, Jackie, I did make the decision with you. I was like, wine or no wine? And I decided yes.
Oh, you did add some wine in there.
Oh, and Max is presently eating your cottage cheese.
Yeah, I see that. Thank
okay.
You.
I will say the garlic meatballs smell a lot better than the animal that got into skunk.
Yes.
Somebody got into skunk. Yeah.
Spread.
It's quite
I smelled it as soon as I walked in the house.
Quite a menagerie of odors in the house today. Okay. All right. Max, get away from there. I decided because I usually cook with wine, and I was like, too early? I was like, no, never too early.
Never too early to cook with wine.
Right?
Did you drink any?
No, I did not.
Well, the alcohol.
Some, at the some top
for
the hour.
The sauce, some for me.
Yeah, the alcohol cooks off.
Yeah, so. Exactly, Jim.
Mm-hmm. How does box wine work in meatballs?
You know, and I knew that I was going to need to be more madman. I had a feeling. I'm like, will Jim be able to find the pasta that's 1 foot away from where the sauce is?
No,
he did not. I knew I should have just served him. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Dorothy in Phoenix, you're on with Jackie. Hi, Dorothy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just had a very interesting phone call on Sunday from my very, very precious, exhausted daughter in Cleveland, Ohio. And she's a social worker and is exhausted from helping these thousands of people who are backed up in the driveways and parking lots trying to get help to understand and get the right coverage for their families on this health care. And I just thought you guys would be interested in knowing that, you know, these families are just lined up door to door. They're working 10 hours a day.
Wow.
Well, I think part of that probably is that there has been so much misinformation out there that it's hard to get the truth through. And so there's a... Again.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah, I put up with that every day. So.
All right. Sorry, Fred is interfering with your answer. Go ahead, Jackie.
So I think what's difficult is that a lot of people need the right answers, and it's hard to get the answers out there because there's so much misinformation to sort through. Your daughter's a real gift to be able to help people. That's wonderful. And I'm glad that there's such high interest. I mean, to me, that says there is such a need for access to quality, affordable health care, or health insurance at least, that's why there's such a demand, is people really want it.
Yeah.
Well, that was what was exciting to me, and the fact that she told me that they have gone through two extensive trainings, she and her coworkers, so that they're prepared really to help these folks to get the right information.
Dorothy, thank you for that story. I was going to say, Jackie, that's what I think, you know, a lot of people are writing about that, but perceptions will change when you go, oh, that's weird, Fox News and all the right Republicans say everyone hates this and no one wants it, and then they go in person and, you know, see what she's talking about.
Yeah, I mean, once people figure out what's out there and what they have access to, it changes their perception of the law. I think what's important, too, to bring up at this point is people have to be savvy consumers, because the insurance companies are not done trying to manipulate the system, and they're not done trying to make as much of a profit as possible. So you have to be a savvy consumer, and not everybody has the kind of free time to call and to do their research. But I would say be skeptical of what you find on the website for any of these insurance companies, because if it says that your doctor or hospital is in network or accepted, that may not be the case. So you may want to call your doctor individually and find out. You may want to try and get in touch with some of the insurance companies, although the waits have been obscene.
Yeah.
But make some educated choices and decisions when it comes to what you can afford in-network and out-of-network, because I'm finding that the misinformation out there when it comes to who is and who isn't is prevalent, and that right now is the rule rather than the exception.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'm hoping is there's just so much resistance to Obamacare that it's like a pushing and pushing and pushing, and then finally the president just opens the door and, all right, single payer. All right, you got me. Okay.
I think
now we have single payer.
I think eventually down the line we'll figure out that that's the way to go. But there's so much money in politics, and there's so much money in the medical industrial complex, that there's no way that you're going to get that out. I mean, look, I you know, somebody just said to me not too long ago, you know, why do you not like the insurance companies? They employ a lot of people. And they're not looking out for you. They're not interested. They're looking out to make as much money as humanly possible for their shareholders.
Yeah.
But they're not interested in doing right by you. So if we can somehow replace that industry.
Were you going to a Hitler reference? Yeah. I could see your face. Yes.
You know, else employed a lot of people.
Hitler. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's the Fox News.
The Autobahn did not build itself.
That's the Fox News meme.
Sorry.
Why are you anti-business? Why are you anti-jobs?
This is the most free market solution that we could have come up with.
Yeah. No, the free market was what was happening before.
Well, yes.
Where 45,000 people were dying every year for lack of access to health insurance.
Yeah, that was a lot of freedom there.
But this is making it even more free market because it's directly pitting insurance companies against each other, giving us competition.
It's supposed to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's even made Mitch McConnell have a newfound concern about the uninsured.
And for all the disruption and pain, it's a law that will still leave 31 million Americans uninsured at the end of the day.
Oh. 31 billion, trillion Americans.
Is he counting the people who are eligible for Medicaid that can't get it because the Republican governors and legislatures have decided not to accept 100% in federal funding in order
except
to
in Kentucky, where the Democratic governor has allowed that. And the exchanges are actually working great in Kentucky, despite Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know if you saw this.
There are not enough dead Americans, in my estimation.
Okay. Well, you know, the Republicans do win when less people vote. I'm just saying.
True.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw this. I really like Michael Hiltzik in the L.A. Times. I think he writes. But it was interesting. You probably saw a lot of press about, we have a plan. We have a Republican plan ourselves. And, you know, I don't know if you've looked at the whole thing, but the headline is GOP health plan, less coverage, less choice, less access.
It's hurry up and die, in other words.
Yeah, but I love that they try to call it, like, tricky names. Remember George Bush would call it the Friendly Forests Act, the Clean
Friendly,
Air. The
Clean Forest and puppies and bunny rabbits.
All of that was put together by, what's his name, the roly-poly guy with the words.
Frank Luntz.
Frank Luntz, who's now having a nervous breakdown.
The roly-poly guy with the words, is that what you mean?
Yes.
That could be anyone.
You've read that he's having a nervous breakdown.
Really?
Yes.
That's too bad. Is there a word for that?
Yes, he's having a nervous breakdown.
Should we call it a meltdown? Or
he's taking it all upon his shoulders that the Republicans lost the last election.
Yes, because he's that important.
He thinks
we
got to
find a better way to message that. No, you know what I think it is? Because someone finally pushed back against someone saying the Democrat Party.
Yes.
E.J. Dion on Meet the Press said it's Democratic. Seeing Frank Luntz.
They're on to me.
Anyway, it's called the Patient Choice Affordability Responsibility and Empowerment Act. CARE.
Good acronym. Yeah, it's the same stuff that they've been shilling all along. This isn't anything new. This is the stuff that we rejected in 2008 with McCain.
Right.
It's the stuff that we rejected in 2012. It's the same plans they keep putting forward. You get a voucher to pay for your health care, and it doesn't cover anything.
It's premium support.
Yeah,
it's premium support. It's not a voucher. It's a serious plan.
It's a coupon.
Want to see my guns?
He doesn't have guns.
It preserves some of the things people like most, Michael writes, in the Affordable Care Act. Obviously, you know, pre-existing conditions, not discriminating on pre-existing conditions, but does so in a way that's guaranteed to fail most of those affected. Among other things, it eliminates minimum coverage standards written into the ACA, including items like maternity coverage, which inevitably will make insurance more expensive for women relative to men. The proposal incorporates some provisions that are bound to doom it, even among Republicans, and others that are already known to be ineffective.
Yeah, the plan is unraveled. All of the good stuff that people like. It's not a plan. It's nothing new.
Frank Luntz said they care.
It's a regurgitation of everything that we've seen and rejected over
Baby
the past
bathwater.
8 years.
Baby bathwater.
All right. We continue with Jackie Schechner live in studio, 58 minutes after the hour. It's the
and Antoinette Tough.
Oh,
next.
My God. Oh, my God.
Yes.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's a very, very exciting day. Jim has found the pasta. typical man, he didn't look like 2 feet away, so now I had to go find him the pasta.
Pasta in the sink, who knew?
Yeah, what was in a strainer. Okay, everything's good.
Anyone who's ever made pasta,
the pasta is delicious. And Jackie Schechner will be with us all hour. It is a very, very exciting one. And has just let us know she will be coming to Fort Lauderdale, Sexy Liberal, to do a panel with us along with Judy Tenuta. But she's not going with Judy. She'll be going separately. However,
will you play the accordion?
I will learn how. Sure.
Maybe she will twirl the baton while Judy Tenuta plays accordion.
We're not bringing that back up again. Yeah, I'm from South Florida, so I'm going to try to use it as an excuse to visit the parental units. Yeah.
And of course, the real south of Florida is the northern part. It's the panhandle.
Yeah. Right. All right. Chris, speaking of women I love, how long have I been talking about and wanting to get on the show this next woman?
Every single day you ask us.
We talk obviously a lot about gun stuff and all these school tragedies. And this woman just, I think, like, in a way, disarmed the nation with this 911 call that everybody heard. She talked this, kid out of shooting up a school just with pure human kindness and empathy. And, I was so struck by it, as were so many people. She's an amazing new book out I'm reading called Prepared for a Purpose. Antoinette Tuff joins us now. Antoinette, good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are you doing this morning?
I am so happy to meet you. You have no idea.
Oh, great to meet you, too.
And I saw you on TV promoting the book, and I'm like, wow, she's gorgeous.
Oh. Thank you so much. Thank you.
I got to say, everybody that heard this 911 call was so struck by it, not just your calm, but your, in fact, I've told this story just to other people. I thought it's a lesson for all of us every day where you say we all go through something, honey. We all go through something. And it was amazing. And this kid put the gun down, right? What were you thinking? I can't even imagine. I don't even know where to start with the questions for you. What were you thinking, and how were you able to do that in that moment?
Well, to be honest with you, Stephanie, it wasn't me. It was God. I was terrified on the inside, screaming like I don't know what. Like, okay, God, what do we do? What are we going to do next? It was a frightening experience, and I hope no one ever has to experience that.
Yeah, I'll say. But obviously your life didn't start at that moment. Can you fill us in briefly, like, what was happening in your life on that day when you walked into that school?
Well, it was just like any normal day. I actually was, at work doing my job and everything, got up, had time before with God and fixed my son. He likes an IHOP breakfast, as we call it, bacon and eggs, yep, and toast and some coffee and tea. And a little orange juice he wants on the side. And so God didn't say anything to me during that time that it was going to be my day.
Oh,
or that I was going to, encounter AK-47 in a few hours.
Wow. But you talk about, the gunman walked into the school and said, we're all going to die today. What was your initial reaction to that?
This must be a joke.
Yeah. So obviously, he chose to trust you and to communicate through you. Why do you think he did that?
Well, because I knew that pain. I had experienced that pain myself. And I know that he really felt the genuine love that I had because I was right there with him and I understood that pain.
Well, it was interesting. The fact that you shared such a painful personal story with someone in that moment. You said your husband of 30 years left you. And first of all, when I've seen you, I'm like, what kind of man would do such a thing, such a woman? But, so you were able to sort of access that kind of pain and vulnerability, and he must have connected on a human level to that.
Yes, I was, my husband and I had been together since I was 13.
Wow.
And we had been together for 33 years. So, I'm sitting there in a devastating moment, like, what do I do now? Because I had just gotten a devastating call to let me know that they were going to repossess my car. So moments before he came in there, I'm actually in my office bawling, crying, like, okay, God, what am I going to do next? Going through all the emotions that my husband is gone. Now, how am I going to pay for this car? Trying to get it all together. And so what do we all do? We put on a mask and a veil, clean ourselves up, and now go out to say everything is going to be okay. But in all reality, if someone could see the inside, on the inside, we're all falling apart.
Yeah. Listen, I hear you, sister. So you have how many kids and how old?
I have two children, a 27-year-old and a 22-year-old.
Wow. And, I don't know if that's part of it, but being able to talk to this kid as a mother, How did you know what to say to him in the moment, do you think?
Well, I didn't know. I mean, somebody asked me before, they was like, oh, you were so calm. I had to go back and listen to the 911 tape to see, and I didn't even recognize myself. That's how calm I was. And I was like, okay, God. I couldn't even go back and tell you exactly what I said to him, because it was God just guiding my words of what to say. Because remember, I'm sitting here watching this young man unstable in all his ways. He has now sprayed bullets at everywhere. He has actually put a bullet in front of me, not even feet away from me. He's letting me know that we're all going to die. And so now it's like, what do you do and what do you say? Because every word that proceeds out of your mouth that day can be life or death, not just for me and him, but for everyone in that school.
And so, do you mind if we listen to a little of that to refresh people's memories and yours? Because this is what, let's listen to a little bit, okay? Here is Antoinette Tough on that day.
Oh, he just went outside and started shooting. He said to tell them to back off. He doesn't want the kids. He wants the police. So back off. And what else, sir? He said he don't care if he dying. He don't have nothing to live for. And he said he's not mentally stable. Do you want me to try? I can help you. Want me to try? You want to talk to them? Want me to talk to them and try to? Okay, well, let me talk to them and let's see if we can work it out so that you don't have to go away with them for a long time. You're going to be okay. I thought the same thing. You know, I tried to commit suicide last year after my husband left me. But look at me now. I'm still working and everything is okay. It's going to be all right, sweet. I just want you to know that I love you, though, okay? And I'm proud of you. That's a good thing that you've just given up, and don't worry about it. We all go through something in life.
But you did great.
Wow. Oh, my God. I'm tearing up again. Yeah. I mean, I've cried every time I've heard it, Antoinette. It really, because, you know, I don't want to drag you into the politics of it, but I think it's just there's so many of these gun tragedies where we hear, oh, if only there was some more guns or a good guy with a gun. And there you are, just with all you had is the power of, like you said, of God and of human empathy for this kid, right?
That's it. Compassion and love. That's why I wanted people to, that's why I wanted to write my book, for people to be able to see that I'm an ordinary person. I get up and do just like they do. But God prepared me for that moment. And when I was younger, when I was a child, he prepared me with my dad and abandonment. He had prepared me with my ex-husband abandoning me. God prepared me for that moment to be right there. So that was why I wrote my book, for people to be able to see. You don't have to be a millionaire. You don't have to be a $2 person. God doesn't care where you at. He's willing and able to use us all. So are you ready when he calls your number and calls your name?
Mm-hmm. I actually love the most human part is at the very end when you fall apart. Because everyone's like, how could she be so calm? And you're like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, what, you know, I think everybody talks about, too, there was a point you had a chance you could have run away, right, from where he was. Why didn't you?
Because now I'm now seeing this young man. He has actually loaded up the magazines in front of me. He has emptied out the book bag with, I mean, so many bullets. I ain't never seen so many bullets in all days of my life. He goes outside and now sprays bullets everywhere. So even though I had an opportunity to run, there's open walkway in that building. I knew that if I ran, he was going to go in that school and start spraying bullets just like he did outside, and nobody would go home, including me and him.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a true hero, and I know a lot of people would probably not have made that choice in your position. One thing that struck me is you always say you never saw the gunman as your enemy, which, again, is hard for a lot of people to understand. How can you explain that?
Well, he was a hurting young man just like me. He had pain inside that he needed someone to be an angel. God sent angels to me when I was going through my devastating and suicide moments, and I knew that I needed to be an angel for him that day.
You know, Antoinette, it's interesting. You talked about you tried to commit suicide, and I think, you know, I don't know if there's a human alive that hasn't thought about it, hasn't been in that place for some reason, and you know, I think that's, I have a feeling that's what he connected to, don't you?
Oh, yes. He knew that I knew the pain. He
yeah.
knew that in spite of what all was going on, that we both had the same kind of pain.
Well, Antoinette, when he was shooting at the police, how did you get him to stop shooting and come back in the room? What did you say?
I put my hand up and said to him, just like you do your babies, come on back in here, baby. Come on back in here. Bullet don't have no names. And bullets will kill everybody. Come back in here. Come on, come on, come on in here. Let's go. Come on.
Oh, my God, I love you so much. Yeah. How has, I mean, I can only imagine how this experience has changed your life. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yes, it really has. It has changed my life a whole lot. I'm now on book tour doing my book Prepared for a Purpose. I'm actually now speaking nationally and internationally, allowing people to know how to be prepared for their purpose. And right after this incident, people have gone to my GoFundMe account and have donated money from all over the world, and I appreciate the donations, and we can continue to still need them. We've actually now formed an actual company, nonprofit, called Kids on the Move for Success, and we were able to give a child a scholarship to go to college at the Trumpet Awards a few weeks ago.
Wow.
So it has truly changed my life so that other children realize that they don't have to be a Michael Hill or anyone else. They can be prepared for their purpose and have an educational opportunity to be successful.
Of all the things I've read about your book, I love, and you, I love this one from the Washington Post. We should use her as an example to teach our children's leaders, any of our leaders really, and all of our children, the value of compassion and the power of empathy. And that's something, it just seems, some days feels like it's lost, and I think that's what, you know, has so touched Americans about you. And I feel like I'm welling up just talking to you. And if there's not a man that does not snap you up like too sweet, then there is no God.
Well, he's allowing me to be healed and whole first. When you still have a lot of things, I don't want to take that in my new marriage, a new relationship.
Aww.
So I want to be able to be whole, so it'll be like 4th of July every day.
Aww. Gosh, you're my role model in another way now, because I'm really incredibly needy. Okay.
No, allow God to be able to actually validate you today. Look in the mirror and say today, I love me.
Aww. I know I love you, and we love the book, Prepared for a Purpose. Antoinette, thanks so much, and the best of luck to you.
Thank you so much, Stephanie, and it was a pleasure to be on your show today. Oh. You all have a wonderful and blessed day today.
You too. All right, thank you, Antoinette.
Bye-bye.
Oh, bye-bye. Oh, my God. I'm going. She makes me cry. She's such a beautiful soul.
She is, really.
And stunning, inside and out.
You keep bringing up her looks, Stephanie.
See, your new girlfriend?
I was going to say, she's...
Oh, my God.
Trying to get her in here in person.
Huh? some latent life stories I've heard about. Okay. Hi, kid. Oh, she's spectacular. Don't look at me like that.
Oh,
all right.
My God.
See, Sheckner's too young. All right.
Too young for what?
19 minutes.
You just get into break now before you get into trouble.
19 minutes after.
I'm going to get an apology phone call tomorrow.
I'm getting emotional. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Steffi. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Old home week. Jackie Sheffin is home.
Yay.
Oh, Lassie came home. What?
And I'm enjoying these.
You just called her a dog.
But in Lassie's, the most endearing way.
Lassie's pretty.
Yes, Jim?
I'm saying I'm enjoying the camera angles here because it forces me to get closer to Jackie.
I know.
And it's just a technical thing, obviously.
Of course. Of course. He's forced to spoon you for technical reasons.
That's what they all say.
Sure. Yeah.
All right.
Don't mind the microphone.
No. All right. So we just got the exciting news that Jackie Sheffner is going to come do Sexy Liberal Panel with us in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
That's
March
the plan.
1st. Just a couple of weeks. Along with Judy Tenuta. All right. Very exciting. And then Chris and Jim and all of us will be in Phoenix this Saturday for the very first Sexy Liberal.
I can't
2014.
Wait. It's supposed to be close to 90 degrees in Phoenix this weekend.
Really?
Yes.
I'm told it's warm. Yes. Phoenix is the desert.
And it's dry.
It's a dry heat.
It's a dry heat.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not the is heat, that why Governor
unlike Bone, Florida.
Governor Bonefinger's fingers shriveled?
That's why she looks like a saddlebag.
Doesn't someone know to bring
she
her in
get
out,
it
of, the
out
sun?
Of the sun once in a while?
She's like a raisin.
Yes, she is.
Exactly. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12. People have been so patient waiting to talk to Jackie. Byron in Missouri, you're on with Jackie. Go ahead.
Good morning, Steph, Jackie.
Good morning. Hi.
Jim, Chris.
Hi.
I wanted to let you guys know from the outset, this is not a plant. I'm a Democrat. I'm a son, grandson, and great-grandson of union people. And I've never voted for a Republican in my life. And once in 1980, I was ripped when I went to the polls and I voted for Clark. So other than that, you know, I'm a loyal Democrat. And I believe in this health system. I, like many others, want a one-payer system. But what we got, we'll use until everybody comes to their senses.
Right? Yes.
I'm on Social Security disability. I'm 62, retired truck driver, 42 years, going 90 miles an hour. And when you stop, things break down. my wife filed the other day. We went to the library, got on the computer, and filed for her retirement. And then when we got home, she called the healthcare line and talked to the guy. And he, you know, after about 15 minutes, he said her health insurance was going to be $450 a month. Well, she works for the hospital here in town in Joplin, and her health insurance is about $140 a month. They take it out twice a month. And so it shocked me. And then I thought, well, maybe it's because Missouri is one of the states that has refused to join the exchanges and hasn't expanded Medicaid. I'm not sure. So I'm confused. And then last night, as an aside, last night I get a call from an 800 number. Usually I don't answer these calls because I have a cell phone I have to pay, you know, by the minute.
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. And the guy's asking me a whole, you know, asking me a question, and he's going on and on, and I don't understand what he's getting at. But finally he asked me, he says, do you agree with the fact that to expand Medicaid to people who are working? So this sets up a red flag. And I asked him to ask me again. So he goes through it again and asks me again, do you, you know, agree with the fact that to expand Medicaid for people who are working? Sounds like a Republican to me. So I said yes. And then I said, well, you know, isn't Missouri one of the states that refused to
expand Medicaid?
Yeah. And
right.
To expand Medicaid. Well, he didn't want to answer that question.
Yeah.
And I asked him that. He
okay.
Couldn't get me off the phone.
Byron,
back.
We've only got about a minute here with Jackie. What's your question exactly?
I'm done.
All right. It sounds like, and I'd have to have some more detail, but it sounds like his wife has health insurance through work, which would
right.
make her ineligible right. to buy health insurance on the exchange if the health insurance she has at work is under 9.5% of her income.
Right.
So I'm not sure. He may be mixing up disability benefits with the health insurance exchange marketplace because it sounds
yeah.
like she already does get health insurance through her job. So those are two separate things. And I just want people to understand, too, is that Medicaid and exchanges are two different things. That
That's
every
right.
state has
mm-hmm.
to have an exchange. If the state opted not to participate in a state-based exchange, they are part of that healthcare.gov
right, right.
exchange, the national federal exchange. Medicaid is totally different. Medicaid is expanding the opportunity for people to have assistance if they don't make enough money under 133% of the poverty level. And a lot of states opted out of expanding their Medicaid program to include adults and to include people more than just
right.
Women and children who needed it. So it's a larger program to help, for lack of a better word, poor people. And a lot of states opted not to take
right.
advantage of that. But that's separate from the healthcare exchanges.
The cutest part of that call is we went to the library to use the computer.
I know, it was very cute.
Aww. That was cute. Okay, more with Jackie Schechner and Jackie's Healthcare Corner as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
So young and live. Look at the shape of that body.
Well, the good news is the pasta was good. The interwebs, were having a little interwebble trouble this morning. All right.
We're submerged with no sonar.
I'm changing services, though, later
today.
Yes,
you are.
Because you know what? We all bundle. puppy.
We all bundle.
We all bundle.
Okay. You currently have DSL, and it wasn't built to handle
the stresses
we're putting on it now.
Right, the horses are a little slow in the horse-drawn interweb this morning.
So we had to move you over to cable.
But I bundle because I have television and also my puppy. Mama has an old-fashioned phone.
I was going to say, you're like the last person on the planet to have a home phone.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, cell service isn't very good in this particular spot.
Right, in the bunker.
Yeah.
Yes, and also it's the intercom. That's how the doorbell rings. It's the phone. Listen, Norma Desmond will explain it later. Anyway.
Ooh, you have an intercom? Along with your bridle path and your central vacuum system?
It's hooked up to the butter churn.
Oh, snap. Jackie Schechner with an old joke.
Yeah.
Right.
How about that?
Nicely done, ma'am. Nicely done. Jackie Schechner, healthcare expert extraordinaire, live in studio with us.
Live?
She's going to be here every week now until
I'm taking next Thursday off.
Right. You'll be here a different day.
I will, yes.
Don't you?
I will have a makeup day.
Whatever occurs, we will find you.
I will find you.
Yes.
But then Thursday will be my regular
day. Will be your regular day. You'll be our regular Thursday girl. All right. And we just found out she's going to join us on panel at Sexy Liberal in Fort Lauderdale. Going to visit Mom. And yay. Okay. Along with Judy Tenuta live on panel with us for Pride Weekend in Fort Lauderdale. That's March 1st. All right.
You've met Mom. She's highly visitable.
Mom is so as adorable as Jackie Schechner is, picture that. Picture that in a maternal unit.
My mom's very, very cute.
She's really sweet. And she loves her little baby so much. Donna in Idaho, you're on with Jackie. Hi, Donna.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question about the Affordable Care Act. At some point during all the discussion, I had heard that insurance companies are supposed to pay 80% of the money they collect from us on medical. Is that still true, or does that get set aside?
No, that's true. It's the 80-20 rule you're talking about, the medical loss ratio, which says that 80% of the money they collect from premiums has to be spent on health care. Unfortunately, we don't find that out till the end of the year, so they can spend whatever they want, and then they have to do their accounting and show that they spend at least 80% on actual health care costs. We'll see what happens come the end of the year, because some companies are jacking up their premiums and not paying out as much as they probably should be. So we'll see where the money goes. I mean, don't put it past them, though, to do some creative accounting. The law is, though, that they have to spend at least 80%, but we've seen it time and time again where they find ways to hide the profits and hide the money and buy back their own stock and things like that. So it exists and it's there, and hopefully it'll be implemented again this year the way it was the last couple of years. But you just have to be careful and keep an eye, a watchful eye on the insurance industry.
Yep. Really? Okay. That's funny. I've always trusted them so implicitly. One thing we can trust Republicans won't do again is take the debt ceiling hostage. Jay Carney the other day.
Hard to argue in the future that somehow, having done it three times, doesn't matter. Now we're going to threaten to shut the government down again, or threaten to default on the full faith and credit of the United States again. I think that argument becomes harder to sustain in the future.
Nothing sadder than a saggy orange boner. You know what I'm saying? He's very, very droopy.
And the tears of the clown.
Right. John Boehner had to cave on the debt ceiling.
You'd think they'd try to come up with a new strategy of some sort.
Right.
But instead they just keep replicating the same thing over and over again.
Excuse me? And now the latest outrage, of course, is over the president talking about small business, right, and giving in the
We have hardship exemptions, phase-ins to make sure that nobody is unnecessarily burdened.
Your thoughts? I can tell you're not.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
not
I have.
Fan.
I have.
You're disappointed.
No, I am. Well, I don't understand necessarily why the decisions to delay these employer contribution requirements. They're not mandates. It's a really weird word for it. But the idea is everybody into the pool. Everybody has to contribute. It's an employer responsibility. It's part of the larger portion of the bill that we all created, saying we've all got to pay into the pot if we're all going to take advantage of the opportunities that having access to affordable health care provide us. There must be some reason. I hope there's some reason behind it other than just kowtowing to political pressure, but it sure feels like that. And I don't think it's an excuse to scrap the individual mandate. I don't think that that's a workable solution, but I understand why Republicans are screaming it. It makes sense. And I don't understand why they continue to make changes to this implementation when it would be super helpful to actually kind of follow the outline that we set forward.
Yeah.
It doesn't strengthen the law to make changes to it along the way. It strengthens the law to adhere to it the way it was passed.
Yep. Let's go to Darren in Texas wants to talk to Jackie. Hello, Darren.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead.
Well, I have a question for Jackie. I've got kind of myriad of questions, really. But I have a sister who is on disability and Medicaid. And due to, I guess, Texas not wanting to expand Medicaid, opting out of that, she needs a pain specialist all the time. Well, they're dropping like flies. So we're trying to get her on insurance through the Affordable Care Act.
Mm-hmm.
And the question I have is, can she, and we've had several different answers, so I'm trying to find out what the right answer is. Can she stay on Medicaid and get into the Affordable Care Act, or does she have to drop it?
I don't think she can do both. If you're going to get government help through Medicaid, then I don't think that she can get any kind of. I mean, she could probably buy private health insurance if she wanted to, right? It's a free market. She can pay out of pocket to buy private health insurance, but I don't think that she can get any kind of financial help with private insurance and collect Medicaid at the same time. So it would have to be one or the other. It would either be able to pay for private health insurance, and depending on her income, may qualify for a subsidy. But if she's on Medicaid now, I would assume she'd be able to continue that Medicaid, or maybe work out some sort of deal where she can pay just out of pocket for the pain specialty she needs. I mean, keep in mind, too, that you have the option of negotiating with your health care providers. I mean, one of the things mm-hmm. you can do if you're paying as a cash patient in circumstances.
You can offer a chicken?
You can offer a chicken.
Sorry, that was a Republican candidate.
Yes.
I would like to barter a chicken.
Yes. No, you can go in, and I mean, some are more obviously more willing to do so than others, but you can go in and say, look, I'm paying as a cash patient. Is there any way that we can negotiate down the price of this service? And a lot of these facilities and doctors are willing to do that, depending on your financial situation. I mean, we're talking about, you know, people who are generally in the practice of providing things that people need, and there
right.
is an inherent care there. And they're not trying to bilk you for every dollar if it's the kind
right.
of doctor we'd like to believe they are.
Rush Limbaugh says he pays cash for his health care. He doesn't have any health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
He just gives his housekeeper
because everybody has Rush Limbaugh
a
lot
of bills
yeah.
to go right.
Not everybody has Rush Limbaugh money.
Yes. Thank you. That's why I think it is, well, whatever. It's just completely immoral to encourage people not to sign up for health insurance because you are a multi-billion millionaire or whatever and have to.
Yeah. People who've never had to encounter the desperation of needing medical care and not being able to afford it
right.
or to get it when they need it most don't understand how desperate the situation is.
Yeah, didn't he have a heart something in Hawaii, get a heart attack, heart
mm-hmm.
bypass? Really? How many people can pay for that with cash, right?
Yeah, when you're rich, it's easy to get. We say we have the best health care in the world if you've got money.
Yeah.
Right. If
yeah.
you've got money, you can get great treatment here, but not everybody's in that tax bracket.
What was the chicken lady's name again?
I know. Now yes. I'm forgetting. The Republican female.
We
just
started with chicken.
The Republican female candidate.
She was in Nevada.
Right.
Nevada. Against Harry
Sharon
Reid.
Engel.
Sharon Engel.
Offer him a chicken.
I don't know. Is it a chicken meatball?
Whatever. Oh. Hey, speaking of chicken, you brought this up earlier. Listen, that's why I turned this into a cooking show today. Because Paula Deen is getting $70 million in business comeback money. Let's go,
what?
People.
$75 billion?
Million.
Come on,
million.
Animal Planet.
Only million. Yeah.
Somebody.
from the owners of Sky Mall.
Right.
What?
I love this.
Yes.
Who posted this? Hilarious.
Yeah.
Like a cat or a demon or some sort of racist Moby Dick. It's impossible to kill Paula Deen.
It's all the butter.
The Wall Street Journal reports today that the former TV chef just received a lot of money from a private equity company to rebuild her brand. A lot of money means somewhere between $75 and $100 million.
Huh.
I need help rebuilding my brand. I got to pay for the
yeah.
studio I just built. There's actual money to be milked from her droopy teat, according to the Post. Paula Deen Ventures is in talks with TV networks, retail chains, and other possible partners,
yep.
but has yet to announce a TV or contract or major deal.
I think your teats are less droopy.
Well, I'm in a sports bra, but thank you.
They're a little
by
more flat than Paula Deen's.
By the way, you need to get relationship counseling on the Food Network, as we discussed earlier.
Oh, we did.
Speaking of butter, because your boyfriend What kind of diet is this?
My boyfriend read this book called The Perfect Health Diet.
Oh, boy.
And he's now obsessed with it. And he is cooking everything with eggs and butter. And you know, look, he's in good shape. And I can't complain with the results.
Sounds
for
like
him.
The paleo diet.
But that's what Travis is on. Yeah. Travis is like, no, I can't have pasta. I'm on a paleo something.
Yeah,
I'm
and
like,
it's working for him, but I tend to eat much lighter, and it's not really my diet. It's not really what my body prefers.
Right.
So we're having a little bit of a discussion as to, ooh.
Ooh.
I like when he offers to cook.
Ouch.
I like when he offers to cook for me. I just don't necessarily want everything to be buried in butter.
Well, that's why I'm glad you've
How
come
much
here to the
do you
Food
want
Network
with your cheese, eggs, and beef?
For relationship counseling.
We do. We need like a mediator to parse out the butter.
Right. Exactly. All right. To clarify your butter situation. Yeah. Get it? Clarify butter. You get jokes here. All right.
These are the jokes, folks.
Okay. By the way, can you see how we need a little funding? Why? Because my internet's read this off of Chris's computer. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by Look at Those Biceps. Right back with the remaining moments of Jackie Schechner on The Stephanie Miller Show.
We have to seem like a sexy, profitable company, and we're almost pulling it off.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Uh-huh. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. Jim has gone analog. He's just gone to the newspaper now because our interwebs are not working. All right.
Well, Jackie, for some of us it is. For you it's not.
You're hogging all the interwebs.
Sometimes the old ways are the best.
All right, Jackie Schechner live in studio with us. We have, you know, various new different cameras from Free Speech TV. I'm guessing this is one Jim wishes we had. Shia LaBeouf wanted to wear a penis cam for his movie.
Can you go away, please?
Yeah, what's going on with him? His increasingly bizarre antics include proclaiming he wanted to mount a camera on his penis.
You mean a former
while
child
shooting,
star is having a meltdown in public?
Right, yes.
That never happens.
While he was shooting the movie Nymphomaniac.
Was it like a big TV camera?
Yes, right, right. Did we just have to tell Jim, no, you cannot have a penis cam when Jackie's here?
I'm not sure I really want to see that cam.
No.
Does that come with a new cable?
I saw part of the trailer for that movie. I was like, wow, that's yikes. Not for the kids.
Wow. Jim, who said the rest of the CBO report contained much good news for Obamacare? Insurance premiums under the law are 15% lower than originally forecast. The slowdown in Medicare cost growth is broad and persistent, and enrollments will catch up over time to where they would have been absent Obamacare's troubled rollout. Who said that?
John Boehner, shut up. I want to hear about it.
No.
E.J. Dion, who's not an expert like Jackie Schechner, but still. The reaction to the CBO study is an example of how willfully stupid, there's no other word, the debate over Obamacare has become. Opponents don't look to a painstaking analysis for enlightenment. They twist its findings and turn them into dishonest slogans. Too often the media go along by highlighting the study's political impact rather than focusing on what it actually says. My bet is that citizens are smarter than this. They will ignore the noise and judge Obamacare by how it works. Who said that, Jim?
E.G. Daily.
Told you. E.J. Dion in the Washington
F.J. Pratt, he's a friend of mine.
Wasn't E.G. Daily in Pee Wee's Big Adventure?
I think so.
She was Dottie.
She
was Dottie. Yeah.
Anyway, and, Jackie, do you agree?
Isn't it true?
No, I do agree, and I wish all along that people had taken the time to actually read not only what was in the law, but the details of all the information that came out afterwards, because it's very easy to just listen to people screaming and yelling and go, we have to leave it there, or thanks for your opinion. And a lot of times it's not an opinion.
We'll have to leave it there.
As Jim Ward brilliantly summed up what our journalism has become, go ahead.
What does Chuck Todd think that David Gregory thinks about what Cokie Roberts said about Peggy Noonan?
What she thinks, yeah.
And what she thinks.
I mean, a lot of
that's
times
what it's become.
A lot of times there is no he said, she said.
And
there's
like oh, Republicans say Obamacare is a $2 million job killer. You
all
know,
right.
$2 million
Good night, everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, just because somebody says it doesn't make it true. Right. And that's what's been so frustrating about, I mean, I can go back to what I originally said, which is that healthcare is not partisan, yeah. Right? People don't ask whether or not you're Republican or Democrat when you get cancer or when you get hit by a car, right. your political affiliation doesn't right. come into play. So take a look at the facts, take a look at the actual details of changing our healthcare system, which we all agree was broken and continues to be broken in some capacity. So let's figure out a way to fix it and mm-hmm. stop arguing about who's right or who's wrong. If the policy is good, who cares where it came from?
That's why I saved this piece from you for you about Michael Hilsick's piece about the Republican plan. What did we call it? Oh, it's the Patient Choice Affordability Responsibility and Empowerment Act. CARE. You know, he just breaks down the... It's just a piece of crap, basically. And this is not, and even in covering this, people are like, oh, well, Republicans have a plan too. It's like, look at what it is.
You know, healthcare policy is complicated, but a lot of it is common sense. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of a dork with this sort of stuff because I like to read it. I like to learn right. about it. I like to study it. And it was part of my job as the communications director when I was with Healthcare for America Now to learn as much as I could about what policies were in place and what policies we were looking to implement. But they all made sense, and it wasn't coming from a political angle. It was coming right. from a policy angle, from people who had studied healthcare policy.
Right, and based on some Republican ideas,
across the world over many, many years. Mm-hmm. And there are solutions that have nothing to do with politics, and take the time to learn what those are. Well, and help the process as opposed right. to trying to stop it at every turn.
One health economist is quoted here as saying of the plan, it's clearly designed to serve the objectives of the campaigns, 2014 and perhaps 2016, not as an effort to engage in good faith negotiation with Democrats on health policy. This is what it's become, what you just said.
Maybe we'll reach a tipping point. Maybe, right. I mean, we can only hope that we reach a tipping point, we stop putting stupid people on TV, we stop arguing for the sake of arguing, you know, we stop having these conversations that don't mean anything, and we start talking about issues that matter and fixing the problems of our society in a way that actually works for people.
What kind of stupid people are you talking about? People who can see a wrestler from their house?
I had a friend over this week that was like, oh, she was looking at Sippy Cup, Chris. She's like, what is she? Why is she on TV? What? Why do they ask? What?
Because she has glasses. She looks like a smart girl.
But then she wears F-me boots.
She does. Yeah, exactly.
And that's a problem, Hal.
Who is Sippy Cup?
Essie Cup.
Oh.
She's one of the hosts of the Cross Flavin. Oh. Cross Flavin.
Whatever.
Yeah, fat.
Let's do Kayla real quick in Illinois.
Thank you. I wanted Jackie to comment on the issue of people caught in what they're calling the donut hole. And these are people who live in states where the Republican governors have refuse to expand Medicaid.
Yep.
Donut hole actually comes down to Medicare. And when we talk about the donut hole, what we're talking about is people who have Medicare, over 65 who have Medicare, have to pay for their own prescriptions after a certain amount of money is covered. Then there's a hole where they have to pay for their own prescriptions. Then it gets covered again. That's the donut hole. It's Medicare, not Medicaid. Okay. And that's actually closing thanks to the Affordable Care Act. Medicaid is a whole different.
We love you, Jackie Schechner. We love you guys. And she'll be in Fort Lauderdale. Sexy Liberal, get those tickets. They're going to go fast. March 1st and then Phoenix this Saturday. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show. We'll